Oh, hey, everybody. It's Chuck. Welcome back to the Cybertruck. Second drive today. For those of you watching this, maybe you've already seen the first impressions drive on the AI4 Model Y. I tried to get that out as quick as I possibly could after the poll on X said that's what you wanted to see first. Now I'm going to go out and do the Cybertruck, the exact same drive. Try to set it up the same. Obviously, my recording equipment in the Cybertruck is not as good. Some feedback from some of you to try to do the screen recording with my second camera in dark mode. So I'm gonna try that today. Please give me some feedback whether or not you think this is better or worse than light mode. Sometimes in the past, I've thought light mode gave more contrast, but maybe I was wrong. In any case, looking for some feedback on this. And as the screen shows you there, FSD 13 2.5 on the same build number, 2024-4532.5, that all three versions that were released last night is on. We have this on the AI4 Model Y and the Cybertruck, and also the Hardware 3 folks got the same build with version 12.6.2. So looking out for that if you're driving a Hardware 3. In any case, I got our route in here. There is no button to start on the Cybertruck yet. That has not changed yet. I also did want to say, I think under towing and hauling, there are trailer profiles now. So that is a new feature to come in here and set up some trailer profiles for you while you're towing. That is the only change in there that I see. So tapping to activate to drive, and then you can see the FSD wheel is there. I will engage it in a very similar position that I engage the Model Y. You can see I'm right here on the edge of the curb. It's a paved surface, but this vision model still is a little bit uncomfortable. And a vehicle's going around me there. I didn't mean to make my neighbor do that. In any case, I'm just going to give it a little bit of a tap here because it's not going. There's a small tap, and that's all it needed to get going. So we'll do a couple unprotected left turns, a U-turn, and then do the exact same first impressions route and see if we see. The Cybertruck to this point has been very sluggish. And I say sluggish specifically because it's making good decisions on when to commit, but once it commits, it's just kind of meandering out there without quite the oomph it needs to do. All right, here's our first unprotected left. There's our NHTSA stop. We need to do a little bit of a creep. And small gap here. Is it going to go? If it goes, commit. Well, I would like a little, that was fine. The gap was a little small and it just kind of lumbered out there. Those cars did decelerate a little bit to let me go. But that was fine. We'll go ahead and call that a successful one. Still no question mark maneuver though. All right, we'll do one more of those and then we'll come back and do our U-turn. Stick with me. All right, here we go. Guys, I apologize for that windscreen. I just got out and tried to wipe it down a little bit. My car lives in the driveway and the birds hammered me, it looks like. So apologize in advance if it's annoying you. The windscreen isn't as clean as it could be. All right, nice trailer move there. We do not have a gap to the left yet. This is actually a very small gap. Nope, it shouldn't go for that. Please don't go for that. I don't think it will. Yeah. So we're going to sit here and wait for a second. We got quite a good set of traffic here. I'm really glad this happened. It didn't happen this morning. These unprotected left-hand turns are just too easy when there's no traffic. But now that the truck and the Model Y are not doing the question mark maneuver anymore, the truck really has to fit in the median if it's going to wait. Otherwise, it just kind of, oh, don't go there. Well, that was a uncomfortable little release of the brakes. It looks like we're going to get a good break in the traffic from the left. And it's not going to be open from the right. So is it going to go and sluggishly wait in the lane here? Which is what I think it's going to do. There's our clear left. And now it's going. Oh, and it waited just long enough. And now the left lane is open. Good. Well, I mean, but do you sense the sluggishness of that turn? There's just no confidence and acceleration in it. Which is kind of what I was talking about when I was saying it just, It doesn't have the commit criteria. That's not the right word either. It just doesn't have the commit that I feel like the Model Y has. And there's my pay attention to the road. Here's our U-turn scenario. So I am paying attention to the road. I just gave a little tug there to make it go away so we can get this turn out of the way. Very sluggish. That's the right word. It just, it's taking its time to do its maneuvers. And it's almost like, I don't know, I use the phrase, you know, a few times. It feels like it's a little bit drunk. It's been overserved and it needs to lose a little bit of weight. It's just kind of moving a little slower than it. It's not very nimble. A very small gap here it should not go for, and I'm really glad it didn't, because the U-turns on the Cybertruck are usually not as quick and precise as the Model Y. All right, two more cars here, and we got all the time in the world. So I want you to pay attention to the Vector to see if it's smooth and concise, and there's our clear. Oh, and it's not even going. Oh, wow. Did we lose the ability of doing a... I'm going to tap the accelerator. There's the accelerator. So it wouldn't do the U-turn. And see how slow that is? Oh my God. Horrible. Horrible. I'm even recording the data on that one. It was so bad. Not good. U-turn. First of all, it wouldn't initiate the U-turn on itself. I tapped the accelerator and it just did this creaking slow U-turn. So I don't know what the difference is with the Model Y and the Cybertruck on maneuvers like that. It just, it doesn't know how big it is, or it doesn't have enough data to calculate it, a precise trajectory, or they've just got it maybe dumbed down a little bit so it builds up confidence as they gather more data. That's the only thing I can think of. A good decision on that yellow. That was a long yellow. You can even see that truck up there went under the light just as it was turning red. So good decision there. I don't know, what'd you guys think of that U-turn? I mean, obviously it didn't do it because I had to tap the accelerator, but just the speed that it was merging into the traffic, even though there was no oncoming traffic, and perhaps it kind of knew there was no oncoming traffic, so it took its time, maybe, but I just have never really seen FSD do that yet. Wanted to just keep everybody updated. I know I said this at the beginning of my other video, and if you've watched both of them today, I apologize. I'm changing the format up a little bit. I'm going to be putting an audio-only version out in podcast. I'll try to, you know, mention it each time. So if you just go to any of your podcasting apps, whether it be Apple or Spotify or any of them that you prefer to use, and just type in Chuck Cook, more than likely you'll see my profile pic show up, and it's going to be the audio version of this podcast. So if you just want to listen to it in your ear, kind of see the gist of it, if you don't have time to sit and watch a video, or you just want to re-listen to the conversation, that might be something for you. It seems like I've always got somebody in my ear talking to me on a podcast, and I enjoy that, so I figured many others would also. But the video is still going to go up for subscribers on X and also on YouTube for those that aren't on X to keep up with this content. Putting out two versions in one day sure as heck keeps me busy. Each of these drives is going to be about an hour just to get the full self-driving first impressions route in there, and then the video rendering. Matter of fact, my Model Y video is rendering right now. It's got, you know, like 3 hours of render time on a Mac M3 Max 2 terabyte hard drive with 64 gigs of RAM. So it's a pretty beefy MacBook. It's just a lot of video. It's all the video streams. You know, I've got like 6 streams going at the same time that are all being synchronized and put together. In any case, here we go. We're going to have our flashing yellow, unprotected forward facing. This morning, this was just a gimme. Here, what time we got? We got it 1 o'clock now on a Friday. So it's going to be, no, it's a Thursday. Let's see, a little bit of a gap here, so this shouldn't be too hard. Interesting context window there. We got some blocking cars, but it knew. Yeah, flashing yellow, smooth. Let's see what the speed bumps are like here on the railroad tracks. Went over them at 14, nice and slow. No problem there. I think the railroad tracks, you know, other than the symbology, seem to be handled well. The truck sometimes has gotten to where it stopped near the railroad tracks where the tailgate might have been hit by a crossbar if the crossbar came down. So I've had to tap the accelerator a few times in the past. A little bit of a creep here to get visibility on this turn, and it's wide open. Okay, we do have an upcoming car here. I turned on the camera so you can see how close the truck is willing to go. Gosh, pay attention to the road, Chuck. Hey guys, I don't think I'm doing anything different than I was on the Model Y this morning, but this pay attention to the road is dinging me like 3 times as much. So if you watch this morning's video and you watch this one, you're going to be like, something's different. I don't think I'm looking at the screen that much more, if any. The Model Y just is a little bit more lenient on letting me glance at the screen. And I definitely use more of the road than that other vehicle did, so I was kind of being a road hog. And there was definitely about 6 to 10 inches further right I could have gone, but it just doesn't quite like road edges that don't have painted lines or curbs. All right, now interesting, we do have a car coming up from the right here. We have the right-of-way. It needs to exert it, though. You see that car coming? That's what I was talking about. That car, this is the double highway, this little double road. That's fine. We can wait there for that, but I would have proceeded. There was plenty of room, but it was almost treating that like there was a second stop sign there, even though there wasn't a stop sign in the middle of that divided highway. So it got all the speed bumps in both cars today, and they all slowed down to right around the same speed. So that was a good job there. All right, next is the suicide lane. This morning, the Model Y used the middle lane to wait while it merged into traffic. So that was good. Let's see if we got any. Okay, it's clear to the left. I can't see to the right yet, so it needs to creep. All right, it is not clear from the right. See how it's doing this in the lane? I'm in the lane of traffic. All right, I had to get out of the way of that vehicle there. So that was a disengagement. Unsafe maneuver into the suicide lane. Give a little recording. Nothing on my calendar. Let's try to reach for the recording. See what I mean by this recording button just so far away? All right, we're re-engaged. So that was disappointing. It did exactly what I've been when talking about. It made a good commit. But once it committed, it just sort of said, yeah, I own the road. I got to wait for this truck coming up, so I got to slow down. But as it slowed down, it was in the middle of the lane of traffic of that oncoming car. It needed to get into the suicide lane just like the Model Y did this morning. So while we're on the same FSD build, we are not driving the same FSD at all. So maybe, and I don't even understand how these build numbers are working anymore. The Model Y has different capabilities. It has park and reverse and all these other things. The Cybertruck doesn't have reverse yet. So they're just using numbers almost like, I don't know. I don't know why they're the same number. Maybe in the comments below, tell me what you guys think. So I got the blinker on to turn to the right, but I'm boxed out by an SUV there. And now I need to get over. Is it going to get over? Yep. And one more lane. That was fine. So don't get me wrong. I love driving the Cybertruck in FSD. But when I do a side-by-side like I am today with the Model Y, it's just so much better, which gives me hope that we can get there. But then you get into the truck, and it weighs a lot more. It's got a lot bigger dimensions. It's just it behaves differently even in its own skin. Which just makes me wonder how these models are doing this and whether or not the data is able to be used across these vehicles the same. So I'm going to be looking for this radius of turn thing also. On the previous version, which was 13.2.4 for the Cybertruck, the radius of turn had a little bit of a hiccup in it, just like it used to on the early version 13s, but they came back. And I wonder if it came back because they reverted something on the model when they went out with 12.6 at the same time. Just another thought. Had a really good interaction just up here this morning. I posted some highlight clips of it, of this school zone. The flashing yellow lights were on. The Model Y slowed down and a crossing guard came out on this little crosswalk here. And the Model Y stopped and let the people cross the road, and you even got to see the little stop sign the stopping or crossing guard had in her hand was showing up as a stop sign. Really, really good clip there, which is awesome to see. School zones are one of those big question areas we still have with metadata in the maps to understand the time of day and the actual speed you should be using during that time of day, and possibly how we should solve that. I think that the modeling on these trucks and the cars is completely different. Even though they came out on the same day, I think they're just trying to align these versions. Like the Model Y, has 2024-4532.5, same as the Cybertruck, same as the Hardware 3 12.6.2 that came out. So they're aligning their build numbers on dates now more than capability and function. So I don't even know how to tell what's different other than reading the release notes now. I guess release notes is our only way to know when features change. Yeah, I think even the hash numbers were the same. I didn't verify that. Maybe you guys can tell me if you verified any of the hash numbers being the same. That sure as heck doesn't make sense to me either, if they are. I don't know. Tesla AI, if you're watching, maybe it doesn't make sense what the version numbers are, but we could definitely tell something changed with the way you're releasing it anyway. It was good to see that the Hardware 3 vehicles are starting to get that 12.6.2 end-to-end on highway and speed profiles on highway and city streets down to 50 miles an hour. You can see here in standard mode on the Cybertruck, you know, I pretty much leave it in standard. I don't drive in hurry much. I don't like the rapid lane changes. I'm just not in that much of a hurry. And I think standard gives a little bit better of a balance. Chill is a little bit too chill for me. It allows the vehicle to go way below the speed limit if the car in front of it is going way below the speed limit, which I don't drive like that. So standard is pretty much the profile for me. There's another pay attention to the road. In just the amount of time it took me to delete a point, I'm getting a pay attention to the road. And even though I'm looking ahead, it's not recaging itself. And I'm looking ahead and it's not recaging itself. So I've got to do the tug on the steering wheel to keep from getting yelled at. Usually when I look straight ahead for a second or two, it'll find my eyes and it'll say, okay, you're back. But that's twice now I've had to touch the steering wheel to get the attention monitoring to come back. I was getting ready to give you an update. I lost my train of thought there for a second. The screen recording project that I've got going, for those of you that know, I started a little bit of a GoFundMe to raise some funds to start buying some monitors and possibly even an MCU to send to Adam Urban, who's doing the engineering work to figure out a way to do some screen recording so that we don't have to have this second camera and all the glare, whether it be an HDMI extract or something. It's going kind of slow. He's got some parts, he's working on it, but he has not figured out what he needs to figure out yet in order to get the pinouts. The pinouts are not standard, and we haven't necessarily even been able to identify the chipset that's used on the back of the board. It's definitely different than the Model 3 and Model Y screen, so we're not able to, you know, use the same technology or the same LVDS extraction method that we were using before. So hopefully that will come to fruition and the screen recordings will get a lot better for those of us that do the recording on the Cybertruck. For those of you that were supportive and helped us fund some of these screens, I thank you for that. I think we're going to be okay. I just don't know how long it's going to take and how many screens we'll have to go through before we figure it out. But I'll keep you posted on future videos. So We're here on the highway section here, and we got about a mile and a half, 1.3 miles to go to the next turn. And it's in standard mode. It's comfortable staying in the right lane. And God, look at that. Pay attention to the road. I was just glancing over at the screen to see how far I had to navigate, and it did not like it. It's too aggressive. I need a little bit. If this is our only control of the vehicle, you have to allow me some seconds to look over here. It's not like I'm in the Model S, you know, and have a screen right in front of me to keep my eyes forward. So the side glancing is part of driving a Tesla. And even, you know, as a pilot, we have something we call scan. And a scan is the way you train your brain and your eyes to gather the amount of information you need from all of the instrumentation you have in front of you and to continue to not look at just one thing. You know, so as a pilot, you don't want to just focus on your altitude control because then your speed will get off. And then if you look over at your speed, then your altitude's going to get off. And if you're doing a turn and you're focusing on your angle of bank only and not looking at your altitude, you might go high or low. So you have to develop this scan so that you kind of move your eyes around and gather all of the information in a cycle, and then your brain can process it. The scan that I use in the Cybertruck to drive, look at navigation, see the speed I'm going, how much time I have, and look at the road is not within the tolerance that FSD is allowing me to use with my eyes on the road. I'll say that the Model Y was much better this morning, so whatever you got going over there needs to come here, because you have to consume information on the screen in order to drive safely. So, Tesla, you need to find a little bit better balance there. I don't know how to describe it other than to say, you know, give me a little bit more tolerance while I'm looking over here, especially if you see me looking back to re-cage my eyes and to perhaps reset the camera. And maybe that's the problem here, is the camera is not resetting when my eyes are looking at the road. Just like with that earlier example, and I'm talking and not editing the trip, and I got to change it quickly. I'm going to change the lane and see if I... This is me doing this because I got it in the situation talking about my scan. Anyway, it just needs more tolerance. So hopefully that gives you the information you needed. So this section of the... A little bit of rubber in the road there. I wasn't sure if that was rubber or metal, but the truck didn't give it much berth, so I'm not sure if it saw it or not. A lot of people have been asking me today if the road hugging is going away, if the and I'm not exactly sure if I've completely figured out what it was doing on 13.2.4. But for those of you that drive the Cybertruck, tell me if this resonates with you. What I would notice on highway is that it would go around trucks, semis, or oversized loads, but it would go around it late. So in other words, it would kind of stay in the center of the lane, and then right around the time you got up to the front of the truck, it would give it a little bit more room, which was almost too late to give it more room. But then that wide berth it gave the truck, it sort of maintained that lane centering and didn't come back to the center of the lane in time, or in the normal time that it should have. Does that make sense? That's what I'm feeling here. Maybe with this truck here without a trailer, we'll even get a little bit of a sense of it. I feel like I'm doing some pretty good lane hugging there. I got the... And see how it's over on the left? And it's not getting quite back over to the right yet. Yet we've passed the truck. That's what I'm talking about. It's like it's using the little lane swerve to give a room to a truck, but then it's hanging out on the side. I'll have to see if it happens on this version or not, if they fixed it. I was just trying to describe what I was noticing on 13.2.2. Some people were commenting, I even got one DM from someone that wasn't aware of this. If the lane centering is bothering you, and you just don't want it to be over on the edge, if you give a slight pressure to the wheel without giving enough pressure to disengage, you will give an input to the model and it will kind of slide back over. So there's a little bit of play here, and I'll see if I can even do it just to show you here now that there's nobody behind me. If I go a little bit to the left here without disengaging, let's see if you see this bias. Do you see the bias that's going all the way over to the left? Not all the way, almost there. Anyway, that's what I mean, is you have a little bit of input with the wheel just to kind of nudge it. Without actually giving enough torque to disengage, until they completely fix the lane centering or the lane hugging, if it hadn't even already been fixed, I'm not sure. So the speed here on standard, we're in a 50 mile an hour kind of reduced speed zone at this big interchange. But you see, the cars are going around me rather not horribly, but they're probably going around 70. I'm going 63. But it feels like a natural flow speed. I'm comfortable that I'm not going 70 like them. Let me see what it's going to do here. Sorry. But I think that my point is I think the speed profile is about right for our current environment. It's not overdoing it. It changed lanes there pretty good to get behind this trailer, across that solid white line, because you see it knows it needs to be on this right side for this right merge. And it needs to even get over a couple more lanes, but it has some time to do it. How is it going to do this? Is it going to accelerate? There's a little bit of acceleration. Good. See, it's even going up to 60 so it can get over. That was good. And it needs to get over one more lane. It's got its blinker on and it's got no problem. No problem there. this used to be so much worse. This interchange here on I-10 and I-95 has just got so many different ways to go the same route. And sometimes the truck forces itself the harder way, even if it could have just stayed in the situation it is. And I don't know how to do that with a planner. You know, there's like six ways to get there and it chooses the harder way. Sometimes you just let it go, but it, you know, it's going to create a scenario in the future that is just not quite as advantageous for lane changes or perhaps merging. All right, we've hopped off of highway mode. We have a right-hand turn here. Looks like it's going to be a right on red, most likely. There's no signs here that say no right on red. The cars from the left are now proceeding. Let's see if it creeps up here. It's free to go now. It's not even budging. What are you doing? All right, now I got a car behind me, so I'm going to tap the accelerator, a nudge. Tapping it again, nudge. Yeah, it wasn't doing it right on red there. So that was another slight intervention. I didn't just sit there and wait because I had a van behind me that was probably wondering why we weren't moving. So that's why I nudged it like I did. That's twice. So on the U-turn, it wouldn't nudge. And there on that right on red, it wouldn't go anywhere. Interesting. Okay, this is a yield. After we take a peek, let's see if it'll do the yield. All right. It could probably go here in two more cars. There's a Tesla and a white SUV, and then it's wide open. Is it going to go? Oh, I got a pedestrian here that needs to honor. And then it went. Okay. Very sluggishly, though. So once again, it jumped out into the lane. There was a car rapidly approaching me from the rear. It's being very cautious around that biker. I wish it had just changed lanes. Instead, it slowed down to almost an unsafe speed rather than just using the lane adjacent. So, okay, I'm glad you're being cautious around bikes. Bikes deserve all the room they need. But the better solution would have been to either encroach the lane next to you because there wasn't a vehicle there, or just put the blinker on and change lanes. Instead, you kind of slowed down unsafely almost. Guys, I'm really sorry about that windscreen. Boy, with the sun just right, it's pretty disgusting. Hopefully you can see out. A little bit more traffic than this morning, creating some congestion here, but the truck isn't doing anything wrong. It's just this is going to take a little bit longer to navigate. Actually, I kind of like to see the stop and go. I'd really love for a pedestrian to jump out in front of us and cross the road while we're kind of in traffic, like a jaywalking scenario. That would be great to see. I don't think we're going to get it. Yeah. Okay, so we're coming up here on our Memorial Park location. I feel like I'm in this broken record mode today because I've done this exact drive already once. This morning I did try to do a auto park into the skinny chain, and it was unsuccessful. It was going to back into the chain. We'll try to do the same thing here. I don't expect it to be any different, though. So we're taking a left turn here, crossing the road. Yep, no problems. And right around the bend, we'll have our point. Let's see what we got going on here. All right, so here it wanted to pull over. I'm going to go ahead and disengage there and try our parking scenario here. See that skinny little chain? That's what I'm talking about. So it's asking me to park, and if I go ahead and start, you'll see that skinny little chain, it's going to try to, yeah. Like I said on this morning's video, because I selected a spot and, okay, yeah, because I selected a spot, I essentially was giving it permission. And that permission is effectively, you know, why I think it was doing it. It should hopefully in the future one day be able to see that that chain and know that it can't do it. But to this point, it can't see the chain and just was going to back into it. All right, let's see how it's navigating out of here. This morning, no, it didn't. Okay, so we're going to the stop sign this morning. This morning, it decided to take a little bit of an alley tour here, which might have been a little bit more interesting in the Cybertruck because of the width of the vehicle. It decided to go down that alley this morning instead of going straight like it's doing now. Speed feels safe. Got trash cans in the road. Lots of people around. Some pedestrians on the sidewalk. There's our NHTSA stop. And we have traffic's coming from the right and from the left. So we don't have our gap here. We're clear from the left, but not from the right. And in about three more cars, now it's closing from the left. Is it going to take this gap or is it not? It looks like one more car and then we're going right now. Is it going to go? Yep, there we go. So that was a good decision. That was the right point. It should have crossed the road. Okay, that was good. This morning, the Model Y went in this gore section here, which was not appropriate. The truck did it correctly. So that was one of the oddities this morning on the Model Y, was that it used that center gore section that was not actually a lane. All right, we're going to go down here to the end of this cul-de-sac, and I'm going to kind of demonstrate that the truck doesn't have a reverse unless it can navigate the radius to turn at the cul-de-sac and just continue on around. We are still in standard mode. Need to come edit the trip. Get ready to take that away. Got to give this Wagoneer a little bit of room. Oh yeah, we're going to be tight down here today. So let's see. I'm going to go ahead and delete it. Is it going to go around this? What's it going to do? Okay. Now the mailman is there. It's going around the mailman. It's going right to give it a radius to turn. Oh, it's going to try. So here's where we are without reverse. So you see the truck trying to reverse there? That's what I mean. We're not there yet. So I'm not going to waste time and show you that it can't reverse because we knew that was going to happen. But there was just a demonstration. The truck needed to reverse. Give a little sound note there. And give a little demonstration here. We got a VRU with a dog there, and he's going to let me go, I guess. And we'll just go on our way. So the cul-de-sac test is still doing its job of showing us when we need to reverse. The Model Y was able to do that radius to turn no problem this morning, and it didn't even need to do a three-point turn. All right, going straight through here. One light's inoperative. Good example of one green light working and one not. They're both being rendered. One of them had the light out. Now, as we come up to 5 points, this morning, the Model Y interestingly chose to proceed straight and remap. That one kind of surprised me a little bit. I kind of want to go that same route, if it will. See, it's got a right blinker on here. I'm going to delete this. I'm going to go ahead and delete that point. It was pulling over. It wasn't trying to navigate. I need to maybe change that point of interest because it's not quite in a good spot to test it. This morning, the Model Y went straight through here. So I'm going to kind of do the same thing, but manually. I have the stop sign, so I have to yield to all these other cars, which is why this intersection is so wonky, is because it's just a flashing warning yellow red combination light. There's no order here. It's not like it's my turn after this car. I can kind of proceed. All right, hit done there. And let's see if it remaps on College. Yep, it's going down College. So we'll do that same road that we did this morning. If those of you that watched this morning's video or listened to it on the podcast, and now you hear me talking in the Cybertruck on the exact same route, I hope you can get a sense of just the differences in FSD. Now, there's no doubt that if I had done the same thing in a Hardware 3 car this morning and then a Hardware 4 car in the afternoon, I'd probably be talking about the same sort of differences, you know, just with different models. So it just, even though we're now on 13.25 on both cars, it's not 13.25 on both cars. It's two different. It's the Cybertruck 13.25 and AI4 Model Y 13.25. It would even be interesting to know, you know, an AI4 Model S, does it feel as good as the Model Y? I don't think it does. So we're going to need to use the right words when we describe FSD versions now and caveat it with the vehicle that it's on, because the numbers are becoming less meaningful as to what we're actually evaluating. Good example here of a road with a street parking and how the middle of the road, the side of the road, we got to go around. There's not quite room for two cars, so you weave in and out. That was a good example there. The car weaved over and then the truck came back out after that car passed. I was just fine. And after passing that truck, it did a good job getting back over and lane centering. I feel like doing two drives in one day is also changing my conversation around certain subjects without being completely repetitive. So that may not behoove itself necessarily the way I like to discuss items that are of note. Like this morning, I had a long conversation about large language models, about how the large language models such as Grok could be used into the future, but perhaps need to be much, much faster in order to use in real-time inference to read signs that might be relevant to navigation. Right now, we just don't have that speed in large language models. I don't think I want to go into that entire conversation all over again for those of you that listened this morning. Okay, we got a city bus here. The city bus is scooting over. Am I going to scoot over too? Or am I going to be a lane hog? Okay, good. Look, I'm going over into the parking spots. We both used the full road. That was a really good job, Tesla AI, of how lane sharing. I wasn't being a road hog, making the bus go around. The bus definitely was the first to go over. But I also, in order to get by, went into the little parking spaces. If there had been a car there, it would have been interesting to see. Would I have waited and let the bus go by or vice versa? That was a good clip. It's going 30 it says it's 15, but I see a 30 mile an hour sign there. So I don't think that street was 15. That 30 mile an hour sign bumped it up. So in that scenario, I liked the speed that the truck had chosen as opposed to 15 miles an hour on that street. That was ridiculously too slow for a road such as that. So now let's see. Okay. The truck chose the exact same route off of College, road that we saw this morning, where it's got to go out and jump onto Roosevelt, and also going through this barrage of streetlights that are confusing to even humans sometimes as to which light is for you. I don't know if you can kind of see these lights stacked up in front, but there's like six sets of them for different intersecting roads, which also makes for a kind of a very long intersection. Sometimes it takes a long time for this light to change because everybody's got to take their different turn. Now, at this upcoming intersection, I'm going to just kind of predict what's going to happen based off of what I already think that the Cybertruck is doing. That double lane highway there has got three lanes of traffic. Depending on the stoplight to the left, there may or may not be fast oncoming traffic. If the light is green just around the bend, it's going to be very fast traffic. The truck is going to go up to the stop sign. It's going to do the NHTSA stop. It's going to creep out a little bit and get its view, and then it's going to proceed onto Roosevelt. Jumping onto these high-speed roads is the exact scenario where we have to have an aggressive acceleration curve in order to join the speed of traffic. We can't just lumber out onto the road and slowly press the accelerator to be smooth and not get up and go and join the flow of traffic. Now, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think that after those unprotected lefts earlier, we're going to see anything different than that. I imagine it's just going to use its Cybertruck lumbering acceleration curve. Maybe that's what I'll start calling it, the lumbering acceleration curve. And honestly, going left there like those dump trucks just did would have probably been a better choice, because then it would have had a traffic signal to join onto Roosevelt. Instead, it's taking this kind of side road with a stop sign to join the highway rather than proceed to the traffic signal. Model Y did this perfectly this morning, but the Model Y has a much better acceleration curve onto the road. Okay, so here's our stop sign, and you kind of see how we're merging with traffic. So the view back to the left is kind of what where we got to figure. There's our NHTSA stop, and there's our creep, and now it needs to go. Go, go. You got to go. See that? Now, it was able to lane change over in front of this car, but look, this car is right behind me now. And the reason it's right behind me is because of the speed it used to join the highway. Sorry, I don't have my Spotify account hooked up there. So it did exactly what I thought it would. And I don't know why this is like the third version that we've had this lumbering acceleration onto the highways. It's borderline unsafe in some situations. You know, you would think slower is safer, but not when you're joining high-speed traffic. You can't do it that way. You have to get up and go. I mean, it's an electric vehicle, for Christ's sake. Use what you got. But that's not where we're at on the Cybertruck. Now, I may be complaining a lot, but I'm complaining about city streets driving. I've spent a lot of miles in the Cybertruck over the last few weeks, up through the new year, and the Cybertruck is a dream on the highway as compared to what it was before driving manually. It really is very, very good on the highway because it has so much less speed acceleration issues to deal with, right? You know, your biggest issue is lane changes, right? Or passing around a slower truck or a faster vehicle getting behind it. It's these interactions with perpendicular traffic that right now are kind of crawling at me a little bit. We'll get there. But we've been driving it long enough now that we're starting to ask questions to ourselves of, I guess it's just not the same model, right? But we need a different model, or we need different weights to be effective on a completely different vehicle. You know, so the conversation about licensing FSD comes back and says, wow, if it's this much work to get the Cybertruck to be on par with the Model Y, you know, how are we going to get an F-150 Lightning, you know, model to work one day if Ford ever licensed it? Or how are we going to get, you know, a Rivian model to ever, you know, be as smooth as the Model Y is right now? Is it going to take that much data, that much tweaking? Not having any clue what levers the team has to improve the model, to me, over these versions that we've been getting, it feels like it's more than just kind of tweaking dials. It feels like it's video data and getting unique video data to the vehicle must be required, and they just don't have enough data yet to do it. You know, they've said they're not compute constrained. So then what is it? I'm not sure. Still wouldn't drive any other way. So while I'm trying to give a good critique, I'm also trying to also tell you at the same time, I absolutely love having FSD on the Cybertruck. It makes driving so much more enjoyable going from A to B. Physically driving, it's a pleasure too. But when you're putting a lot of miles or a lot of hours, it's so nice to not have to do the mechanics of driving. I do think the takeaway today in doing this back-to-back was a little insightful to me about how different the attention monitoring system seems to be on both of these versions, even though they're the same build number. How the lethargy, is that a word, lethargy? The lethargicness? Anyway, the slow lumbering of the Cybertruck is still present. That was on 13.24, which was the previous version. It's kind of getting out into the lane of traffic and using its own sweet time to accelerate, which isn't always appropriate. The Model Y was doing it great this morning. And I even noticed this morning, I thought the attention monitoring had loosened up. But now that I've driven both, maybe I've just got more miles recently in the Cybertruck and the Model Y felt good this morning. So those of you that drive the Model Y a lot, maybe you need to comment and say, no, it's about the same. You're just noticing the difference between the Cybertruck and the Model Y. Any case, a few other updates. I am starting to get close to wrapping my truck. I've done the practice panels from the Test Bros kit. I've got a little practice panel on my door right now. The temperatures have just been too cold to do the wrap because I'm gonna have to do it outside. It's been in the 30s and 40s, and I need temperatures in the 50s and 60s. 65 probably is my target to do any of these wrapping jobs, just so that the pliability of the wraps isn't too stiff. Okay, forward facing underprotected left here. Did you see how the truck took to the intersection? So the truck is now in the intersection, which means it's committed to the turn, even if the light changes. There's a small gap. Give me a boost. That was fine. The gap was big enough it didn't need to give a good boost, but I guess I just keep being hopeful that the acceleration curve is gonna change, even though I've already tested it and it's not. There's the second drive in the day. We got both first impressions drive done, the Cybertruck and the Model Y. This is build number 2024-4532.5. So probably one of the last builds we're gonna get out of the 2024 year. Maybe we'll get another one, but FSD 13.25 on the Cybertruck is good, but didn't feel different than 13.24. If I were to try to say, is anything different? I'd have to say I don't think so. Anyway, appreciate your patience with me today. I know my windscreen wasn't as clean as it could have been. I know we're still manually recording the second screen. Hopefully that wasn't too bad. I did try dark mode today. If I get in there and it's just not even usable, I'll just give you the video and what it is, and you can give me feedback and tell me if you thought it was better or worse. Any case, thanks for watching, everybody. Check out my podcast if you're interested. Look for that podcast feed, put it in your player, and we'll see you guys next time. Have a great day, everybody.